We already began our study portion for today's broadcast, and you know, this day is very special to Yahweh. It was a day that was sanctified, meaning to be set apart on the seventh day of the week, and we're told to remember this day. In the Ten Commandments, he says, remember this day, right? And so this particular day, he wants us to remember it and to keep it holy. It is one of many things Yahweh commands in the Scriptures concerning the importance of holiness. And we're going to talk about holiness today because it's all over the Scriptures. From one end to the other, Yahweh talks an awful lot about holiness, and so it's something I think we need to be very, very familiar with. And it also is something that has really been lost in our generations today. And I think we have our own ideas of what it means to be holy, and then Yahweh has His statements in His Word where He explains what it means to be holy, and most of the time, it is not taught in today's churches and pulpits, and so we need to have a more correct view of what holiness truly is. Sometimes when, I know for me, growing up, when I thought about someone being a holy person, you know, I have this picture in my head of some guy wearing a robe, and he's very solemn, and I don't know, he's just kind of looking over the world and kind of thinking, oh, everyone else is just so unholy. I don't know if that's how... It's not quite how Yahweh sees things, but, you know, that was this picture, image in my head when I first began to study the Scriptures. And of course, I found out it was totally wrong. If you claim to be a holy person, a holy man or holy woman, I mean, people don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear you say, I'm holy. It invokes certain negative connotations in our culture, and you think, you know, the truth is, we are holy. We're called to be holy, as He is holy. And you may not think of holiness being the practice of loving your neighbor, or giving to the poor, or things along those lines, but those are acts of holiness. And if there was one word I would say that makes us, in terms of those of us who have come to understand the importance of the Torah and the Sabbath and the feast days and the name and so on, that you could point to and say, this is the difference that we need to, I would say, would make the difference between what I believe and what Christianity typically believes, it would be holiness. And I'm going to explain exactly why that is. So today's message is entitled Understanding Holiness. Understanding Holiness. Because I really believe a lot of people do not understand what it means. They might know the definitions, but they don't really understand the teaching of Scripture on holiness. So what does it mean? The word holy means to be kodesh or kadosh, meaning holy or holiness. But look here at Ezekiel 22, verse 26. It says, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. Violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy. Nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. You catch that? In Yahweh's eyes, He became profaned when they did not make the difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean, and when they hid their eyes from his Sabbaths. Now there's a weekly Sabbath and there's the seven annual Sabbaths. So he's saying Sabbaths here, not just a Sabbath. But it's very interesting. Because a lot of people do not make this connection between Sabbath keeping and clean and unclean separation and holiness. And yet it's something that's clearly taught in the Word. And the word again, Kodesh. Kodesh being apartness, holiness, sacredness, separateness. Places, things that are set apart, that are not common. And our English word, if you look it up in a English dictionary, actually does talk about set apartness. The word holy here, set apart to the service or worship of Elohim, hallowed, sacred, reserved from profane or common use, holy vessels, a holy priesthood. Now, some would say the word holy is not a very good translation of Kodesh, but this is Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary, seems to indicate a pretty close agreement with what we see in the Hebrew. So we are understanding that holiness means to be set apart, to be different, to be sanctified, to be separate from human infirmities, impurities, sins, common things. Maybe a good word could be dedicated. You know, Yahweh is very concerned that we are able to know and understand the difference between the holy, the separate, the common. You ever focus on that or think about that whole, oh, this is holy, that's not holy? Does that ever enter your mind? Today is a holy day. Does that enter your mind? It doesn't necessarily enter our Western Gentile minds very often, but Yahweh seems to put a lot of emphasis on it. And in ancient Israel, he was very, very displeased that the priests had done this. He says, I am profaned. I am profaned among them. Because when people fail to put this difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean, Yahweh is profaned. And the reason why he's profaned is because we are representing him on the earth, and he is not being represented as a holy Elohim when his people refuse to acknowledge holiness and what it really means. Now, one of the things you're going to notice as we go through scriptures is there is a direct connection between holiness and unholiness, between clean and unclean. And they're both often side-by-side companion to one another in the scriptures. Now, today is a holy day. This particular day we're in right now is considered to be a holy day. And it's a day Yahweh sanctified at creation. Yahweh wants us to make a difference between the holy and the unholy. And when he says that he wants us to regard his Sabbaths, as we see here, rather than hiding our eyes from them, he is calling us to holiness. And we're talking not just about the weekly Sabbath, but the annual seven holy days. Now, when the Messiah returns, according to the book of Ezekiel, we have unfulfilled prophecies. According to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, it says this, when they go out to the outer court, to the outer court to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, put on other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall neither shave their heads, nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as a wife or a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of priests. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So when the Messiah returns, there will be a priesthood, it says, that will be operating. It'll be in Jerusalem, and they will teach people the difference between the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. So, again, we see a connection between unholy, unclean. Clean is holy. And controversies, into controversy they'll stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Hallow, make holy my Sabbaths. Catch that? So we see here, when Yahweh's will is finally done on earth as it is in heaven, there will be a people who will learn the difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the unholy, and they go hand in hand. But we live in a generation, we live in a culture where there have been so many holy things that have been profaned, so many good things that have been perverted, so many righteous things that have been corrupted. We have lost some ability to recognize the difference between holiness and unholiness. And even if we saw a difference, we wouldn't know what to do with it. But understanding that difference was a problem even in the first century, even in matters of uncleanness. For example, in Matthew 15, verse 1, the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Yahshua, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of Elohim because of your tradition? For Elohim commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might receive from me is a gift to Elohim,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you made the commandment of Elohim of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These men draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men.' And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.'" Then his disciples, on down to verse 12 through 14, then his disciples came to him and says, "Do you know what the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to them, "Explain this parable to us." So Yahshua said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now, much confusion over holiness today. The scribes and Pharisees went to the extreme and said, "Well, you eat with unwashed hands, and the bread you eat is defiled. You will be defiled." That was not true. And then you have people today who are saying with these verses, "Well, now we can eat all the pork we want, and we will not be defiled, because what goes in the mouth does not defile a man." And so we still, at the other extreme, have confusion over clean, unclean, holy, and unholy. And what Yahshua was actually saying was, that little dirt on your hands isn't going to defile you. That's not what's going to defile you. And in the context of first century Judaism, where nobody ate pork, what he said was true. He wasn't talking to a bunch of swine eaters here. Okay? And so when he's telling them, yeah, what enters your mouth's not going to defile you, that was true, because they would never consider eating pork or shellfish or unclean things. In fact, they were going to the extreme. And they were saying, well, if you even fail to wash your hands first before you eat, you'll be defiled. He says, no. To eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. That's the context. But people have taken this and say, well, you know, you can eat pork and you won't be defiled. That's not what Yahshua was teaching. So, what he was teaching was a truth. There's different kinds of defilements. There's different kinds of ways of defiling yourself. And one is what comes out of your heart, what comes out of your mouth. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. The things that proceed out of a man's heart defile a man also. And what they were doing was these very things. They were dishonoring their parents and many other things that they were doing, which were actually defiling them, while going to an extreme over a little dirt going in your stomach. And with this, the book of James also agrees. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by Gehenna. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Elohim and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of Elohim. And so, but this is not the only way in which holiness is misunderstood. Scriptures in the New Testament talk about a holiness in the physical flesh and a holiness in our spirit. Both can be representations of holiness and representations of defilement, both in the heart and in the flesh. And that's a New Testament teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says this: therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Elohim. So we can be defiled. There's a fleshly defilement, which has to do with the things we eat. There's teachings about clean and unclean regarding our physical bodies and the flesh Yahweh's given us. And there's also ways of being defiled in our spirit. And those are the things that Yahshua was speaking of, and in the book of James is speaking of. And so I say, let's pay attention to both. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Our bodies must be holy, acceptable to Elohim, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. Because the world wants to defile us in many ways. So there's so much confusion today. Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I guess I'll have it up there. 5 verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Because our culture treats the holy things as just being common. And I'm afraid the church today has marginalized holy things also as being trivial outdated, unimportant. You know, I have conversations sometimes with people who say they can't hardly believe Yahweh would put to death a man for picking up firewood or sticks or something, whatever it was, logs, firewood on the Sabbath. And when they read that, they just laugh. It's just so silly in their mind. That a man would be put to death for picking up wood on a Sabbath day. To them, that's so trite. So unimportant. They don't know the difference between the holy and the unholy. To Yahweh, this was a holy day. He set apart a creation. And just because our culture has long profaned Yahweh's holy things and regard it as not being important, doesn't make it unimportant. And for that reason, we have the fruits of our culture today. We see something in Scripture. They dismiss it as being something of a bygone era that's no longer relevant. I'm not suggesting we stone people that break Shabbat. Don't worry about that. But the civil law that was in place when there was a nation of Israel was the Sabbath breaking was just as significant as murder. As far as the penalty people would get. They both get the death penalty. Adultery, death penalty. Homosexuality, death penalty. Sabbath breaking, death penalty. Now, I didn't say it. Yahweh said it. I'm just telling you what he said. I didn't create the death penalty for Sabbath breaking. Yahweh did. Now, if our Heavenly Father gave the death penalty for breaking the Sabbath, doesn't that show you a little bit that, you know, maybe it's kind of important to him? And do you really think that all of a sudden, the hour, minute, and second that Yahshua died and rose, all of a sudden, snap, doesn't matter anymore? It goes from death penalty to, hey, no problem. Does that really make any sense? The Ten Commandments, as we've been talking about, and I plan to get back to that study, by the way, you've got the first four commandments and Ten Commandments deal with how we love Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And the fifth commandment fifth commandment also would be included. But they're speaking about how we love our fellow man. But Yahweh does not want you mixing him up with some idol, because he's holy. He's not to be syncretized with unholy religions, unholy practices, pagan-rooted traditions, because he's holy. That's why I don't observe Christmas. That's why I don't observe Easter and all these other Catholic holidays that have been handed down to Protestants. Because we don't want Yahweh to be anything but represented as holy. And therefore, we don't try to honor him with traditions that come from the worship of demons. And then the third thing he's concerned about in the Ten Commandments is the holiness of his name. That his name would not be profaned. That was important to him. Don't take his name in vain. If it's important to him, why is it important to us in our culture today, his name? Why is it? Because we live in a culture that has dethroned the Most High. And people want to create their own Elohim, and we've been handed down to our generation many things that are not biblical. And a lot of us don't realize it, and I understand, because that's what we've been given. And the fourth thing he's concerned about was the holiness of his day. Again, not important to our culture, but does that matter? Is Yahweh going to consult our culture when he judges us on the final day? I think he's going to say, well, what does my word say? Right? He's not going to go, oh, what was your culture like? Oh, okay, yeah, you can profane the Sabbath day. It's okay. This other culture, of course, they can't do that. No. He's going to consult it. I mean, we have the Bible right here. All you got to do is read it. Study it. It's there. We just need to read it and study it and not let the opinions of men sway us. He's going to want to know, Ten Commandments. How'd you do? Ten Commandments. Were you obedient to those? Even though nobody else thought it was important, did you read my word to see how important they were to me? Did you catch that? See where I commanded man to even be put to death for violating the Sabbath day? But we don't put emphasis today on the things that Yahweh puts emphasis on when he thundered the very first things he wanted to say to the children of Israel. I'm holy. First of all, I'm holy. Don't mix me with pagan stuff. I'm not any part of that. Don't make an idol out of me. Don't make images of me. You can't make an image of me. Don't worship me and mix me with other things and worship other gods. I don't want that stuff associated with me. And don't profane my name. My name is holy. And don't profane my day. My day is holy. These are the things that were on his mind when he gave the Ten Commandments. And so maybe we need to rethink a little bit here. Maybe we need to adjust our thinking and let our thinking be more like his thinking. And I hope this makes sense to you. You know, Scripture says that in Isaiah 65, I've stretched out my hands all day long to rebellious people, who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Now, if you understand holiness, graves are unclean places. And eating swine's flesh defiles you. And abominable things in your vessels, the unclean things, is an act of defilement. And yet these people are saying, oh, don't come near me. I'm holier than you. He says, these are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But why is it that graveyards are often right next to churches? And they'll even bring a dead body into a church, which, biblically speaking, is, you know, a very unclean thing. And yet he's talking about, I don't think he's talking necessarily about the church. But I often find that things he had trouble with amongst ancient Israel seems to be very similar to things I see, maybe not quite the exact thing, but similar to things I see and modern day Christianity. But so anyway, we need to understand this. We got to understand that holiness matters. According to his definitions, we don't get to decide what holiness is. Yahweh does. So are we willing to allow what he says matters to be something that we also say it matters? We don't want to be calling evil good and good evil, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter, and be wise in our own eyes. Holier than thou is actually this. This is holier than thou. That's where you get the term holier than thou, right here. You ever heard someone, well, you just think you're holier than thou? Well, this is the context. The unclean, the graves, abominable things in your pots and vessels. And in this case, idolatry was associated with these things. Nothing wrong with me acknowledging that. But, you know, let's look at Scripture and allow it to teach us about holiness. Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Master sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Three times holy. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Revelation 4:8, the four living creatures, each of them having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and yet they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Tzivaot, Asher Haya, Wehoweh, Yavo, who was and is to come." So, his holiness is continually being declared in the heavenly places nonstop. Yahweh is holy. He is set apart. Set apart from what? From anything that is wicked, anything that is evil, anything that is impure, anything that is not lovely, praiseworthy, of good report. He is separate from the filth and scour of the world. Yahweh is holy, and there is no comparison to his holiness. Exodus 15:11, "Who is like you, O Yahweh, among the mighty ones? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" 1 Samuel 2:2, "No one is holy like Yahweh. There is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our valiant one." Psalm 22, verse 3, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Yisrael." He's holy, but he's willing to dwell in our praises. If you want to be in the presence of Yahweh, start praising him with sincerity and purity of heart. Isaiah 63, verse 15 says, "Look down from heaven and see from your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart, your mercies toward me? Are they restrained?" His habitation, where he dwells, is holy and glorious. Deuteronomy 26:15, "Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people, Israel, and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey." So Yahweh's dwelling place is holy. 2 Chronicles 30:27, "The priests and Levites arose and blessed the people, and the voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven." Revelation 8:4, "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before Elohim from the angel's hand." To his holy dwelling place. Also his name is holy. "Bless Yahweh, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." There's a contemporary song out there saying, "Worship his holy name." Well, what is his holy name? They don't say it. Isaiah 57:15, "Thus says Yahweh, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." But also, he's saying, "with him who has a contrite and humble spirit." I love that. He is in the high and holy place, but he's also with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. "For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made." Beautiful words there. Psalm 33:21, "We have trusted in his holy name." So his name is holy. Why do people think his name doesn't matter today? Because they don't recognize the holiness of it, the blessingness of it, the separateness of it, We have to be careful ourselves, brothers and sisters, because people, when they look at us, sometimes they say, those are the people of Yahweh something. And so what kind of impression are we leaving by our actions? Are people associating Yahweh's name with righteousness, with love, with goodness, with wisdom, with faithfulness, with humility? Is that what people are associating Yahweh's name with when they see us? Or are we profaning His name by our deeds? Because we have chosen to do what Scripture says and call upon His name and praise His name and exalt His name, extol His name. And when we do it, we have to handle His name in such a way it does not profane His name by the things that we do. And some people will put Yahweh's name on a shirt or a bumper sticker or their car. But if you're driving in a way that's, you know, not becoming of righteousness, and you're violating the laws of the land, you're speeding by and you're misbehaving and not treating other people in traffic with respect, how are they going to view whatever this Yahweh name thing is? And you're outside and you got Yahweh's name on your t-shirt and you're smoking a cigarette. Or you're yelling at your, screaming at your children. Or you're doing other things that we all know is not right. Be careful about that. Yahweh's name is holy. If you're not representing it correctly, you're causing His name to be profaned among the people. I think the fact that Yahweh wants His name to be maintained as holy and associated with holiness and righteousness, I think that is one of the reasons why whenever people start using His name, they're also starting to learn about His laws. They start learning about commandments, the clean and the unclean, the holiness of the Sabbath, the Torah, and all these things, because He wants His name to be associated with righteousness and holiness. And that's why Psalm 23 says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Very few people do I ever see using Yahweh's name and yet are unaware of and disregard Torah or disregard the Sabbath. Very rare. It does happen, but not very often. They often go quite hand in hand. So Yahweh's dwelling place is holy, His name is holy, and His Spirit is holy. Psalm 51:11, do not cast me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Isaiah 63:11, then you remember the days of old, Moshe and his people saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with a shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them? See, they had the Holy Spirit in those days. Wasn't missing. Wasn't missing in action. Wasn't MIA. They had His Holy Spirit. It's not quite the same manifestation we have today. But the Holy Spirit was there. And the arm of Yahweh, Yahshua the Messiah, is also holy. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. So the angels of Yahweh are holy, right? And Yahshua the Messiah is holy also. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? The arm of Yahweh is a allegorical representation of the Messiah. For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Has the arm of Yahweh been revealed to you? Yahshua HaMashiach. He wasn't a beautiful looking man necessarily in the eyes of many, but He was a holy man. looked just like a regular person. And maybe that's why they couldn't hardly believe a man who wasn't all that great looking was the Messiah. I often wonder about that. Isaiah 52:10, he has made bare his holy arm, that's Yahshua the Messiah, in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our mighty one. That means Jews and Gentiles alike will see salvation because Yahweh revealed his holy arm in the eyes of the Gentiles. See? It's all predicted. Hallelujah. Acts 4:27, for truly against your holy servant Yahshua, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. He is holy. Yahshua is a holy servant of Yahweh. Romans 1. Paul, a bondservant of Yahshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the good news or gospel of Elohim, which he promised through his prophets in the holy scriptures. So his word is holy. Right? We thought about this, what a bondservant really is. A bondservant has to do what his master tells him to do, right? So Paul saw himself as one being a bondservant of Yahshua. He is a slave of Yahshua. And we are bondservants also. And so we have to do what our master tells us, right? 2 Timothy 3:14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Messiah Yahshua. So the Torah is holy, Romans 7:12, and the commandment holy and just and good. So even the commandments are holy commandments. Now think about this. If you want to be holy, then you see the commandment is holy and just and good. Wouldn't it reason to say that if you keep the commandment, you will be holy, just and good as well? I would think so. So Yahweh's word, his Torah, which people say is abolished nowadays, is holy. It's a holy word. And so when you are observing and keeping the holy word, then you are walking in holiness. Yahshua was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He kept every commandment perfectly, without fail, and that's why he was holy. And when Timothy was a young child, and he learned the holy scriptures, what scriptures are we talking about? It would be the Torah and the prophets and the writings, right? The Old Testament. They're still holy. They're not abolished, done away with, nailed to a cross, none of that. They're still holy. And that's why Paul said the law is holy, commandments holy, just and good. Problem is, we haven't been holy, just and good. And that's why we need a Savior. Scripture speaks of the firstborn males coming from the herd and flock. He said, you shall sanctify to Yahweh your mighty one. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor share the firstborn of your flock. And so the firstborn were supposed to be holy to Yahweh. Now, most of you reading this today probably don't have herds and don't have flocks. You don't till your land, maybe not, I don't know. But until maybe 100 years ago, most people did have herds and flocks and land to till. And actually, you go further back, our culture was dominated by an agrarian lifestyle. In fact, most cultures were dominated by that kind of lifestyle. It was only the cosmopolitan, Romanesque type cities where, you know, people started to live their life a little differently. But when we look, where did Yahweh put man? He put him in a big city? He put a man in a garden. That's where he created Adam. He put him in a garden to tend it, to keep it. And that's where he placed man. And really, that's where you will be happiest. I really believe that. But we got the concrete jungle out there, and yeah, okay, I'm not saying it's a sin to live in a concrete jungle or to work in one. But you ever notice that the cities are just, you know, so far from our natural, you know, location where we're created to be? And, you know, every election it seems like it's the country folks versus the city folks. This is something I observed. Anyway, we see here the firstborn of flock is considered to be holy. First fruits of your harvest are considered to be holy. So what do you do with them? Well, you can't bring them to a priest, can't wave them or put them in anything like that, but you can regard them as being holy and don't eat them. Don't use them. We try to do that, actually, you know, with the first fruits of our garden. We don't eat the first fruits. And I don't really know 100% what to do with it, but I want to honor Yahweh in some way, and so I've actually lifted them up in the ground and lifted them up and threw them in the air, saying, Yahweh, it's for you. And some might suggest it's okay to give those to the poor because those were taken into the tithes, and then tithes were given to the poor. It's another possibility. Another thing that's holy is the year of Jubilee. 50th year shall be a jubilee to you, Leviticus 25:11. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. So it's a year that is considered to be holy. Now, when is the year of Jubilee? We've so far removed from holiness that a lot of people don't know when the year of Jubilee is, and it's kind of unclear. Some people believe it's this certain years, and it behooves us to try to research it and find out when it is. And then there's the land Sabbath. Every 7 years is a land Sabbath. The seventh year is when the land is supposed to rest and just let what grows of its own accord grow there. But if farmers today would practice that, they wouldn't have the problem of the soil just being overworked and depleted of nutrients. And so we do, and then every seventh year on our property here, we don't grow a garden. We just let it go. So we're doing our best to practice holiness, to practice the things that Yahweh has taught us. Sin's a transgression of the law. And so we try to avoid sinning, and so we seek to keep Yahweh's law, otherwise we find ourselves walking in sin, and that's something that's considered to be dealing with holiness, is observing a land Sabbath as well as a regular Sabbath, day Sabbath during the week. But again, our own culture, we don't think of it being anything that important. Why? Because people believe the law has been abolished, and the law is not holy anymore. And the commandment's not just anymore and holy and just and good. But we need to make a difference between the holy and the unholy. Me and you. We got more to go. Got more to learn about the will of Yahweh. Yahweh's word is holy. His promise to Abraham actually was holy. Psalm 105, verse 42, remember his holy promise? And Abraham, his servant, he brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations. They might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise Yahweh. So his holy promise to Abraham. Psalm 89, once I've sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. Amos chapter 4, verse 2, Master Yahweh has sworn by his holiness. Behold, the days shall come upon you when he shall take you away with fish hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. You will go out through broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you will be cast into Harmon. Psalm 5, verse 7, as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Holy temple. Temple's holy. His dwelling place is holy. His name is holy. He is holy, and he can swear by no one greater, so he swore by his own holiness. As we spoke of earlier, his Sabbath was and is holy. He said to them, this is what Yahweh has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. So you bake what you're going to bake today, boil what you will boil, lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So that means on the Sabbath day, we don't bake and we don't boil, and we just keep whatever we do ahead of time for the next day. It's a day of rest. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's already holy. Isn't it ironic that the day Yahweh says remember is the day that everyone forgets? It's a day of, oh, let's go shopping. Let's have a barbecue pork roast on the Sabbath for the church to raise money for this or for that. It's like a common day. And Yahweh right there in Scripture says it's holy. And some people think, well, I can do my own day. I can say, well, I'll make Sunday my day of rest, or Tuesday, or some other day. There's no point in making a day holy if it's not holy to begin with. Yahweh decides what's holy, not you, not me, not anybody. He decides what day is holy. Okay. He decided the Sabbath was holy on the seventh day of creation, and when he made that decision, does he blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it? And yes, we can trace the seventh day of the week in our modern week all the way back to Yahshua's day. That's all the further I need to go. And that seven-day cycle has never been broken. It can be demonstrated historically. So it's a holy day. There's no point in keeping some other day as a holy day. And yet the whole church world is going to church every Sunday, treating Sunday like their holy day. Well, nice, but it's not a holy day, okay? It's not. And you're not making the difference between the holy and the unholy, between the common and the holy. We have to make that difference because we're called to be a holy people. Holy people do not defile holy things. And so Yahweh tells them, do not forget it. And yet it's the one everyone forgets. He said, remember it. You know, Yahshua seemed like he was always doing something in the multitudes. David the king always seemed to be doing something a little different than what people expected. Abraham seemed to be doing something a little different than the multitudes. You know, we're in pretty good company. Disciples always seem to be doing something different than the rest of the world we're doing. So we're in good company if we're doing something different. The priesthood of Yahweh is holy. Leviticus 21, verse 6, they shall be holy to their mighty one and not profane the name of their mighty one. For they offer the offerings of Yahweh made by fire and the bread of the mighty one, therefore they shall be holy. So the priesthood is holy. It's an earthly priesthood. The Levites were called to be earthly priests and called to be holy. Luke 1:68, blessed is Yahweh Elohim of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. Prophets are holy. Revelation 18:20, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for Elohim has avenged you on her. So the apostles and prophets are holy. The new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven will be holy. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me a great city. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Elohim. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Holy Jerusalem. Glorious. And Yahweh says, But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, or causes an abomination, or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So do we want to be among those who enter this place wherein nothing that defiles will enter, nothing that causes an abomination will enter, and nothing that causes a lie will enter? But we have to flee from lies, flee from things that cause defilement, and flee from abominations. And so we want to be holy, don't we? I hope that you realize Scripture wants us to be holy. Yahweh says so in Scripture. Leviticus 11:45, "For I am Yahweh who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your mighty one. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And we were created in His image. So we are all called to be holy. Leviticus 19:2 says, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your mighty one, am holy." Leviticus 20:26, "You shall be holy to me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, have separated you from the peoples." We have to be separated from the world, because we are His. We are Yahweh's. And we're called to be holy. We belong to Him. We're not like the common people. And there are so many people, they're so worried about being different. They're worried about looking different, acting different, doing things different. They want to be normal. And yet we're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be normal. We're supposed to be separate from what the normal people do. We're supposed to be different, doing things differently than what the normal people do. Because we're called to holiness. We're called to be set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from the things which are not right. We should look different, act different, be different. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a manifestation saying that we are His. We're separated from among the peoples. And I don't mean to be prideful, but we're not going to be ashamed of it either. We're not going to say, "Oh, by my own power, by my own righteousness, I am holy." No, I'm not talking about that. But don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of being holy. Don't be ashamed of being set apart. You know what the word saint means? Saint is just a translation of the Hebrew word kadosh. Holy. You are a holy one. I am a holy one. If you're a holy one, if you're a saint, that means you're a holy one. You're different than the rest of the people. And you can rejoice in it because flesh and blood did not reveal this way to you, but your Heavenly Father revealed this to you. And since we are called to be a holy people, we should regard the difference between the holy and the unholy. We should be holy in our conduct. We should be doing things that are different than what most of the people do. And when people laugh at us, and they mock us, and hold us in derision, and hate us, whatever, they'll have their day in court. And so will we. Even the command to keep tassels on your garments is something that is directing us toward holiness. That's another thing that makes us different. Numbers 15:38 says, "Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of Yahweh, and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy for your mighty one." Who are we being holy for? When we put these tassels on, we're seeking to be holy for Yahweh. You're not trying to glorify ourselves and say, "Oh, as the scribes and Pharisees were doing in the first century, making their tassels long." No. We're doing this because we're set apart. We're doing this because we're seeking to be holy for our Mighty One, for Yahweh. We want Yahweh to look upon us and say, this is a set apart people. They're doing things different than the people of the nations and the people around them. And so I will wear these tzitzit, the tassels, the tzitziot, and not be ashamed. In fact, I'm glad to wear them. You would tie a string around your finger and say, oh, I remember this. You would tie a tassel or a corner of your garment and remember the commandments. If you don't have a set, I'll send you a set. Just look up the Tassels for Today study on Eliyahu.com. If you don't know how to make them, I got an instructional video on how to make them. If you've never made them, if you've never worn them, we're willing to help you. Sin's a transgression of the law. If you don't wear tassels, you're transgressing the law. Simple as that. You are living in sin if you're not wearing them. Scripture says, I would not know sin except by the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Tassels are one of the commandments. I don't care if you think it's silly. Yahweh's commandments are not silly. Yahweh's commandments, because he has good reasons for them. They're not multiple choice. They're not suggestions. They're not helpful hints from Heloise. They're commandments. This is one of them. And if you don't do it, sin's a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4, and you are disobeying Yahweh, and you're lacking an element of holiness that he's called us to walk out. When Yahshua obeyed this commandment, by the way, if you read about the woman had the issue of blood, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, that was actually a tassel. Look it up in your Greek lexicon. Kraspedon actually is a tassel. And as many as touched that kraspedon, that tassel was healed. And some might say, well, I don't need those tassels to remind me of the commandments. I have the Holy Spirit now. Well, Yahshua didn't need any reminders, and he wore them. And to me, that's an example of what a man ought to do who doesn't even need the reminder. What he ought to do with that tassel commandment. Wear them anyway, because Yahweh commanded it. And so, it's kind of a, you know, you want to go in circles? Because if the tassel commandment is a reminder to keep the commandments, you know, isn't one of those commandments that you're supposed to be reminded of is to keep keep wearing the tassels? You know, my point is, Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he kept the commandment of tassels yesterday, and he kept that commandment in you today, and we will keep them forever, there's some significance to that. And maybe there's something he will do with those tassels that, like he did with Yahshua. Maybe there's some kind of spiritual protection involved in wearing them. I mean, I'm not trying to act like they're a talisman or anything like that, but it is an act of obedience. And he may have reasons that he don't have to even explain to you. He doesn't owe you an explanation. He says it, we do it, we believe it, that settles it, right? Because we are a holy people to Yahweh. He has chosen us to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples throughout the face of the earth. Interesting. And he says, you shall not eat any detestable thing. Do you believe that you're a special treasure to him? He says you are. If Yahweh is a special treasure to you, he will make you a special treasure to him. You treasure his words, and he will treasure you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Where's he getting this stuff from anyway? He's getting it from Deuteronomy 14. Right? and other scriptures, that you may proclaim the praises of him called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now you're set apart. You're a holy nation today. You are a holy nation. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of Elohim, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are a priesthood, Melchizedekian priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. That's how I know it's Melchizedek, because it's involving kingship. And Melchizedek kingship, Melchizedek order unites the royalty with the priesthood together as one priesthood. And so the royal priesthood is Melchizedek. So we are the royal priesthood of Melchizedek, a holy nation. You know that? You and I are part of a nation. What is that nation, by the way? We're the nation of Israel. Galatians 3:29 says we are Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed is Israel. You may not think of yourself that way, but Yahweh does. You are part of Israel. You're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean to be holy? How do we define what holiness is? We got to find out. It's important we find out what holiness truly is. Because Elohim did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. And we are called to be holy brothers and sisters in Messiah Yeshua. First Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua Messiah as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy. Yahweh is holy. His name is holy. His habitation is holy. His priests and prophets are holy. He says, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Is it boastful and arrogant for me to say I'm a holy brother? I didn't make myself holy. Yahweh made me holy. It's not boastful and arrogant for you to say you're a holy brother or holy sister. Because Yahshua is glorifying, you're glorifying Yahshua by saying that. Because he's the one that made you holy. It's not a bad thing. But please understand what holiness truly is. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, and there's another spirit out there that we have not received. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from Elohim, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by Elohim. So be aware of the spirit of the world and its ability to defile you. Because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world. And we have a Holy Spirit dwelling in us, coming from Yahweh. Be aware. Be vigilant. Pay attention to the things that may defile your house, the dwelling place he's given you, the body that you have. Here's an example of pure, undefiled religion before Elohim the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted, meaning unstained from the world. And I've felt that stain before, brothers. That's awful. Most of the time all you got to do is turn on a TV. And it's Hollywood filth. Things are not pure. Things are not lovely. Things are not praiseworthy. Things are not good report. They're disgusting. They're worldly. They're fleshly. They're carnal. We got to know the difference and reject the one and receive the other. There are traps and snares and thorn bushes and things that are carnal and worldly things that may not just come right out and try to oppose you, but it's like a thorn growing up and slowly choke out the word. Another act of defilement, Leviticus 11:43. You shall not make yourselves abominable. Let's just focus on that, those words right there. Do not make yourselves abominable. Whoa. Stop right there. I don't want to make myself abominable. Do you? No. All right, well, how would I make myself abominable? He says, with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. He's talking about eating unclean things. For I am Yahweh your mighty one, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Didn't Peter quote that one? Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. He's talking about eating unclean things. This is one. Creeping things would be things that can defile you. Rodents and things like that, which are unclean. And you actually defile yourself, and it says make yourselves abominable by eating them. Isn't that significant? I mean, I would hope that you see that as significant. See, the people don't understand holiness. There are unclean things, unclean beasts, unclean rodents. People go out and eat squirrels and rabbits and then claim to be holy or believe that they're holy. And we're supposed to be clean. Cleanness and holiness go hand in hand. We see that here in this scripture. Do you see how they go hand in hand? He says, don't defile yourselves by eating these things because you're called to be holy. Right? You make yourselves an abomination by this. Isaiah 52 says, Yahweh has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our mighty one. We read this earlier, right? And so he's talking to about the nations here. And he says, depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahweh. This is quoted in Paul's letters. Paul says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Master. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness or defilements of the flesh and spirit. Here's defilements of the flesh, touching what is unclean. We are commanded in scriptures not to touch the carcasses of unclean animals. Not even touch their carcasses. And would you believe that the Bibles, known as leather Bibles, a lot of times are actually made out of pig, which is an unclean animal. And the word carcass in the Hebrew, the word family also describes wineskins. So don't just think of a carcass as being some dead thing on the side of the road. If you take that carcass, that dead body, and you clean it all up and you make some leather Bible out of it, that doesn't make it any less unclean. You see, I always says their flesh you shall not eat and their carcass you shall not touch. Therefore, having these promises. What promises? you will be sons and daughters. Cleanse yourself from filthiness of the flesh and filthiness of the spirit. And that's how you perfect holiness. In the fear of Elohim. Both things can defile you. Also, cleaving to his holy feast days, cleaving to his holy Sabbath day, and not eating unclean things, those are all signs of holiness. Would you believe Antiochus Epiphanes went into the temple and defiled it? He put pig fat on the walls of the temple of Yahweh, and that's the day everybody celebrates his Christmas. While they coat the inside of their blood vessels of their body with abominable meats, eating unclean, and thereby defiling the temple of Yahweh, and observing December 25th holidays. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Please, don't think I'm trying to condemn anybody. I'm not. I'm saying, let's wake up and pay attention to the Word. And many people don't realize it. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want our bodies to be smeared with pig fat. In the same way Antiochus Epiphanes smeared the temple with walls with pig fat. We want to come out from among them and be separate and be Yahweh's sons and daughters and choose to be holy as He is holy. We want to perfect holiness in the fear of Elohim, seeking to become His sons and daughters. One day the entire world will, every new moon, every Sabbath will come and worship before Him, Isaiah 66. And all the world will proclaim His holy name. This is all part of the kingdom we're supposed to be preaching. If you start keeping the Sabbath and feast days and eating clean, that's all part of holiness. Isaiah 65 says He will destroy all those who eat swine's flesh. Read Isaiah chapter 65. When Messiah returns, it says He will destroy those eating swine's flesh. It must matter to Him. There shall by no means enter the holy place anything that defiles, or causes an abomination, or causes a lie. I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, there will be things found by Him where we are lacking in holiness. But I'm also convinced Yahweh is a merciful Elohim who's looking for a repentant heart, who will not just dismiss it all and say, oh, I can't do that, so I'm not going to. But looking for people who are willing to say, I'm going to do my very best to practice holiness. Who will say, Yahweh, I really want to live the way You want me to live. I want to be Your special treasure. I want to be a holy person that glorifies You in my conduct. I know that I failed You. But I also know that Yahshua, there's no mark He can't erase. And when we humble ourselves before Him, He will dwell, He says. He lives in a high and holy and lofty place, but He will dwell with a humble and contrite person. His Holy Spirit will dwell in a holy and contrite person. And then You'll praise Him. And we will dwell in that land, that good land, that promised land. Let's pray. O Father Yahweh, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Kadosh, 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 be Your awesome name. O Father, establish Your kingdom and its principles and its laws and its statutes and its principles in our hearts. Teach us, instruct us. The difference between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. We know there are things that we do in this age. Even the act of bearing children and even in the act of just a woman in her monthly cycle even makes us unclean. We know that, Father. But that's not a sin. What's a sin is to disregard it, pay no attention to it, and do nothing about it. Father, we want to do our very best to represent you, to walk in your image, to proclaim your holy name, to remember your holy feast days, to remember your holy Sabbath, to remember you and proclaim you and glorify you. Forgive us where we have failed to do that. Let not the enemy prevail over us. For we know, and we are sure, that yours is the kingdom and power and glory and majesty, and all praise, honor, and worship belongs to you, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh our Mighty One, forever and ever. In Yahshua's great name we pray. Amen.